Blown Out by Beth Escott Newcomer. I grant you, this place isn't the most elegant fire trap in the world, but I like it. It's the place I start my days. I'm not sure what it's called officially. I call it Jerry's, because Jerry's the bartender. He's a good egg, doesn't hassle me. Lets me smoke cigarettes at the bar with my coffee and my paper until noon, or until somebody else comes in. He puts the coffee in a proper cup with a saucer, then tops it off with a generous splash of his cheapest vodka, just like I like it. He even puts a spoon on a napkin for me, as if it's a fine dining place. Jerry must be about 1,000 years old. The bartender time forgot. I guess you might say he looks after me. Not that I demand much, just some peace, quiet, and anonymity to wind down my wasted life. For instance, a couple of evenings ago, this guy comes in asking about me. Linen suit, shined shoes, cloying cologne slicing through the stench of this old barroom. I told him Stan Sorensen, never heard of him. Jerry knows how not to betray a trust. Said the guy ordered an Irish neat, water back, dropped a 20 on the bar and said to keep the change. Guess he's buying you breakfast today, said Jerry, and slides a business card across the counter. Ken Hendricks, Collections, L.A. area code, Wilshire Boulevard address. Collections? That doesn't sound good, I say to Jerry, as if I had anything left to collect. But Jerry says it isn't like that, he doesn't think. Guy's no gorilla. Too stylish. A real candy ass. Had a manicure. Said he watched the guy drive off in a classic T-Bird, all fixed up. White walls. Every detail Nat's ass. Said he was looking for a famous photographer from the 90s. Said he found all these negatives in the basement of an industrial building in L.A. Wanted to get permission to publish a coffee table book or something. Told him nobody liked that around here. He must have the wrong name. Yeah, he must have had the wrong name. Paper says it's going to be hot today in Riverside. So hot it will break all the records on the earth. On the earth. That's some kind of exaggerated bullshit. You can't trust the newspaper anymore. But they've been saying that since H.L. Mencken. Ah, Mencken. That bastard could serve up the dark heart of a thing with style. Even if I was born 40 years too late to pal around with him, even if no one remembers who he was, Mencken's still my inspiration. Back when I was still living the high life in L.A., I used to be able to taste the whiskey, to care about the taste. I knew the difference between Jameson and Old Bushmills, not just the flavor, but the politics and history of the difference. Used to order Bushmills neat at the bar at the Dresden Room before the Dresden Room was the Dresden Room. Before it all got so goddamn ironic, the Dresden Room wasn't just a room. It was a time machine with those high-back white leather booths and those crazy Regency glass and brass chandeliers, that wraparound bar, the dark paneling, Marty on drums, Elaine tickling the ivories and ebonies, belting out standards, a half dozen old blue hairs in their sparkly cocktail dresses sitting at the piano bar, waiting for their turn for open mic, their dates dressed to the nines, holding their chairs, lighting their cigarettes, then snapping their Zippos shut. That was in 86 when I first started going there. Might as well have been 1952. That was before the old barflies got muscled out by all those fake hipsters who didn't know what to order, what to wear, what song to request. Hell, they wouldn't know the difference between a fedora and a pork pie. Speaking of hats, I wonder where my Panama is now. I could sure use it these days in that awful sun. Sunny fucking Riverside. Whoever would have guessed this desolate burg would be the end of the line for me. I underestimated my own demise. Thought my sense of style would save me. While all the mindless masses strolled down Sunset still wearing Levi's and cowboy boots as if they were on a way to lasso some cattle, I was having suits made down in Chinatown off North Broadway. Found that little tailor shop one day after dim sum. They had that lightweight wool, which wears great in the summer. I forget that guy's name who used to make those suits for me. He was from Hong Kong. Damn it, what was that guy's name? I can hardly remember anything anymore. My sister would probably say it was the booze. She would probably be right. Whatever, I'm gonna die soon. Probably right outside with my cheap pressed against the dirty sidewalk and take the makings for this fascinating History Channel special with me. This joint might not be the Dresden Room, but it's what I got. Nobody cares about this place. Not the cops. Not even fake hipsters slumming. As if there'd be hipsters, fake or not, in godforsaken Riverside. Not that there is a God. Mencken didn't believe in God, and neither do I. But I must admit, mystery remains. Which makes me wonder just for a minute what negatives that guy found. I thought they'd all been destroyed. And now the door swings open and in wanders another sad sack with nowhere to go but a dive bar in Riverside at 10 o'clock in the morning. Maybe he's a sports fan. Maybe I'll just stroll over there, slap him on the back and bellow, "How about those Dodgers?" Highly unlikely. Sports. What a monumental waste of time. I never did see the appeal. My old pal Coop used to try to talk with me about the Lakers and even took me with him to a couple of games at the Forum. I've never been so bored in my life. Luckily, he had a skybox or whatever they call it now. Everybody I knew had money in those days. There were pretty waitresses coming in and out with snacks, and there was bottle service. Speaking of snacks, did I eat yesterday? God, I can't remember anything, but I should probably remember to eat. I barely notice if I'm hungry anymore. Oh, I've tucked in some fine French cup lamb chops at Musso's and the 5-course pre-fee menu at La, well, you know the place over off Woodman in the Valley, that French place. What is the name of it? I guess it's just as well I've put my fine dining days behind me. These days I prefer the simple life where a steady supply of Lark cigarettes, coffee, and Popov are all I need to take the edge off. Jerry must be a mind reader. Here he comes with a fresh pot of Joe and a bowl of stale pretzels. Did he give that other guy a nod like he knows him? I don't think so. The guy doesn't nod back, just stares straight ahead. I want to say, take a picture, asshole. It lasts longer. And I should know. In school back in Phoenix, hanging out with Kevin and Jimmy and the rest of those guys, I took all the photos. We used to stage a lot of silly tableaus, us making still lifes out of the contents of our lunch boxes, us posing all serious with the silly girls and all silly with the serious girls. All dressed up and made up like Alex, Georgie Boy, and Billy Boy from A Clockwork Orange. Actually, I was never in the pictures. I was always behind my Leica, staying anonymous, recording it for all posterity. I saved up for that camera, worked at the camera store all through high school, learned everything there is to know about photography when I was still a kid. Leica is hands down the best camera made on the planet. You can have your Nikons and your Canons. I'd stand there in the red light of the darkroom in my closet and be amazed every time to watch the faces of my friends appear on the page, holding our cigarettes from the bottom like Russian spies, sporting sharkskin from the Goodwill, lolling on the hood of that old T-Bird of Jimmy's. The time came to escape the hot, dusty, endless boredom that was Phoenix, and we drove that car into the ground, all the way to L.A. The transmission just fell out of the thing at the corner of Hollywood and Vine. Maybe that's too on the nose, but it's how I remember it. We grabbed our gear and left the old T-Bird where it sat. I don't remember how we even made a life after that. How we found that amazing house a few blocks off Sunset. Hollywood was a seedy-ass neighborhood back then. Back at the butt end of the 70s before the place got fucked up, fake, plasticized, corporatized. I don't know about the other guys, but I found my purpose. I took out my camera and never put it away, documenting the slow descent of Western civilization, L.A. style. Darby and his band, the Germs, the Circle Jerks, Fear, the Dickies. They knew what was coming. They knew what time it was. They were already furious, and the world hadn't even ended yet. I captured the righteous menace, snapshots in basement venues, burned-out buildings, all-night shows, speed freak geeks biting heads off live chickens, performance artists throwing cow blood on society ladies, middle-aged drag queens doing striptease. I recorded all of that with my Leica in my linen suit and Italian loafers. Somehow I made a living. How did I do that? People liked my pictures, important people, rich people, people who wanted in on it. Music producers and fine artists and jazz musicians and gallery owners. I shot their artists, their album covers, and made portraits for their book covers. Me and my Leica were in demand. I had that loft downtown, two lofts actually, one for my life and one for my work, across from a scrap metal yard. Nobody lived downtown then. It was a foreign country. All those Midwestern kids hitchhiking here and heading to parties in the hills, making trips to the beach, thinking this was Beach Boys land, wearing shorts and t-shirts and sneakers like a bunch of nine-year-olds, as if this was some kind of sun-bleached, whitewashed postcard. Not for me. No thanks. I like the grit and the grime. West's L.A., Hammett's L.A., the grifters and the con men and the gun shoes drinking coffee at Philippe's, leaving dimes for the busty waitresses. Santa Ana winds inspiring mayhem. I guess that's why I started dressing like that. Natty, like a real man. I lived in L.A. for more than 30 years and never owned a pair of shorts or a bathing suit. I guess I wouldn't turn down a new pair of pants right now, though. The ones I've been wearing have seen better days. And the shoes, these old wingtips I got at the Angel's Flight thrift downtown the day I sold my old Leica to Jimmy for $500. It was the last thing of value I owned. Jimmy understood me. He knew that dry-out hospital was no place for a guy like me. There's no fucking higher power or whatever it was those AA do-gooders wanted to shove down my throat. You live, you die, you slosh in your grave. That's the facts. We just strolled right out of the place, got in his car, and drove to the bus station. Jimmy handed me a ticket to Riverside and the phone number of an old girlfriend of his he thought might put me up till I got back on my feet, which I guess never happened. So here I am in fucking Riverside. Jimmy's friend kicked me out of her one bedroom after 2 days. Ain't no picnic with an old drunk sleeping on your couch. But she did help me get set up with a cot at the homeless shelter and sign me up on the dole. I pick up my check from the PO, and sometimes my sister wires me some cash. And if I really need it, I can get a meal at the Catholic Church's soup kitchen. But I won't pray for it, goddammit. And there's still plenty of shoe leather left on the soles of these wingtips, even though they're a little too big for me. I guess that's better than a little too small. The only trouble with these shoes is I can't really run in them. The soles are too slippery. Not that I've needed to run much. I can out-talk the junkies and the meth heads who want to horn in on my shady haunt behind the Riverside Museum. I can behave in a respectful and civilized manner when the occasional policeman tries to rouse me from the lobby of the Mission Inn. Sometimes bad stuff happens on the street, I won't deny it. I've got hands like a girl and boxing skills to match. I've been roughed up on occasion. Wrong place, wrong time sort of thing. But I still have my dignity, even if I don't have my Panama, my custom-made lightweight wool suit, or my Leica. I really wish I could take a picture of that guy. If I did, I could capture the slick meanness in his eye. He's been staring at me since he sat down like he has it in for me. But why? What did I do to deserve it? Maybe he's just crazy. This world ain't got much time or space for losers like him, like us. While I'm trying to figure out what kind of character he is, I make the stupid move. I hold eye contact for a beat too long. Shouldn't have chanced that glance. Shit. He smiles at me like a snake. I should have kept my eyes on my newspaper. I'm wondering if I've made a goddamn enemy, or worse, a goddamn friend. Here he comes. I should leave. I gotta get out of here. I grab my spokes, drop two bits on the bar for Jerry, and make for the door. He stops me, grabs my arm. You Sorensen? Stan Sorensen? He speaks, a voice like a garbage disposal. I lie. Not me, fella. You got the wrong guy. Too bad, he says. I've been looking for a guy named Stan Sorensen. I thought for sure you were him. His friend up Jimmy up in L.A. said I might find him here. I've got something for him. I don't need help from that guy. I don't need help from anybody. Sorry, bud, I say. I'm not your guy. I pull away, push open the door, and take off running in the bright, white, blown-out July heat of Riverside. As fast as my wingtips will take me, smack in front of the number 11 bus. And down I go, and out I go, taking my story with me.